Okay, go ahead.
1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and gentleness.
Amen. We should memorize this verse. But you, O man of God. Okay, I want you to see this other verse. 2 Timothy 4:5. Sam. Amen. So I really like seeing this word again, but you. There's a lot of negative things that are being talked about by Paul, but I love how he always comes back to Timothy and he says, but you. And in this verse, I particularly like the utterance that says, but you do the work of an evangelist. And so I like this verse just setting up this whole line of fellowship that we're about to get into. How about read the message title of what we're getting into today all together. Start with gospel. Seizing the opportunity. So I appreciate one characteristic of a man of God is that he does the work of an evangelist. And I'm going to move quickly if I can. But a couple of things I'd just like to do to set up this line of fellowship. Maybe everybody go ahead and do the binder clipping. Get that out. This week we're going to be... we're in a training. So praise the Lord, we're in a training. One part of our being in a training is... the main thing we're here is to be trained, to be helped. So we want to be helped in the truth, right? We want to be helped in life. But we also want to be helped in gospel. And this is a huge aspect of our Christian life. And I feel like just beginning today, I'd like to open this up, maybe to try to tee up this fellowship a little bit for the rest of the week, prepare our being a little bit for what we're going to be getting into. Raise your hand if you were at the semi-annual training again, or if you took the video or went to it live. Okay. We were in Psalms, and as we were in Psalms, first of all, I'd like to encourage any of you that have not been to the live training. That was a special training. The young people study time, the fellowship we got to hear, I just feel it was fabulous, and I hope that you could endeavor to go, maybe just the next one, which is on Psalms again. But while we were there, Brother Minoru had shared a couple of messages with us. He shared something from Psalms 22 and a lot from, I think, Psalm 69. And I don't know if you remember, there was a particular burden in his sharing for the young people. Those two Psalms, if you haven't read them before, Psalm 22 vividly details the suffering of Christ in his crucifixion. And I think he said that Psalm 69 is a very detailed account of what he went through in his suffering for us. And in his fellowship with us, he shared with us that we young people really need to get into these to have an appreciation for the Lord's suffering. And he was careful not to direct us into a kind of emotional exercise or something like this. But he made the point that many of us as young people are struggling maybe to go on with the Lord or in our consecration because we may not have a deep enough appreciation for the Lord's suffering, his death for us, his redemption of us. And his encouragement to us was to get into that, to get into those portions. And I just feel I fully agree with what he said. And in this last week, I took a little bit of time to get into those verses. And I'm so thankful of what our Lord Jesus has gone through to redeem us from sin and to recover us to himself. And what he shared in that message is that if we would get into those verses and we would be touched by the Lord's heart, his motivation of love to die for us, even personally, even for each one of us, how could we not be drawn to him? How could we not love him? How could we not desire to just give ourselves to him? And I feel like this is a really important matter, and I really, I'm very hopeful and full of burden that this week the Lord would touch every one of us in a very personal way with his love. I don't know if we should get into that psalm, but I do know that if we're here with an open heart, the Lord will appear to us and he will speak to us and He will constrain us with His love. And this was Paul's experience. He was a person we'll read about this week who he considers himself the foremost of sinners. He was a person who was actively involved in persecuting the people of God and ravaging the church when he met the Lord Jesus. And I'm just sure that he was full of appreciation for the Lord's blood and for his redemption. And the issue of that was that he gave himself absolutely to the Lord. He wrote this verse in 2 Corinthians 5 that says that the love of Christ constrains us, right? That we would live to Him. That we would no longer live to ourselves, but we would live to Him who has died and who has been raised. He also says in another place in that particular chapter that he wanted to gain the honor of being well-pleasing to the Lord, right? And I believe all of us are here this week because at some level we love the Lord, right? If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
If you desire to be pleasing to the Lord, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this is what we're here for, is to please the Lord, to serve the Lord. We just appreciate Him. We want to give ourselves to Him. We want to pour out on Him. But I was touched as I was preparing this week that really one of the main ways we live to the Lord going on for the rest of our life until we meet Him is in the gospel, right? It's in the gospel. The more we touch the Lord, we touch His heart for man. Weren't you touched by that last night? How much the Lord loves man? Well, anyway, I just feel like I hope that happens this week. And I hope we would give ourselves to the Lord like this, that we could be useful. And then what do we need? I feel like the next point is we need training. So this is what we're here for. We're here to love the Lord, and then we like to be trained. We like to be helped by the Lord, even perfected, made useful in His hands to preach the gospel and to bring sinners to the Lord. And so I pray this way. Lord, I like to give myself to You. I want to get the most help I can this week. We will receive fellowship from these other brothers that will share. There's so many points here. We will be touched. I hope the Lord pulls on our heartstrings. I hope there are specific names that we're thinking about, that we're praying for, that we're fellowshipping with our companions about. I hope this is happening. And then, in addition to that, there will also be some other training where we're going to have the opportunity to go out and to actually practice contacting people. And I don't know, we may not get to do it a whole lot. We may just get a taste. There'll be more fellowship coming. But I hope you would just give yourself to that training and get the benefit. Okay, so the next thing we would need is opportunity. So you'll get a little opportunity this week, but my burden in coming to the outline is to impress you with these first words, seizing the opportunity to preach the gospel. Okay, let's all read together Roman numeral number 1. Amen. The college years are a unique time and opportunity. Okay, let's have sisters read A. No other place. No other place. Okay, brothers, read B.
Young people are unoccupied. They are not settled yet. They do not know the direction for their lives. It's easy for them to have a change in mind.
Okay. There'll be some opportunity this week just to put our foot in the water, right? To be trained. And by the way, just let me say, if you're in your chair and you're very nervous, you're afraid about what's going to happen to you, you've never preached the gospel before, be at peace. We are going to have opportunity, but the Lord is very gentle. He's very shepherding. He knows about all of us right where we are. Nobody's going to make you do something that makes you terrified. So don't have any fear about that. The Lord is our trainer. And we're going to get a little opportunity this week, but the real opportunity is when? The college years, right? Raise your hand if you're a freshman. You're going to be a freshman. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8 maybe. 10, 11. Praise the Lord. You all are most blessed that you're able to hear these things even before you go on the college campus. Well, I'd like to draw your attention to some particular words, and then I'm going to spend the rest of my time on this board. I would like to I would like to convince you of three things, okay? So when I'm done, we'll see if I did that. Okay, but first, circle the words in A, Roman number 1A, open and unoccupied. Open and unoccupied. I'm going to write those here. Okay, and then circle another word, gathered. And then I want you to circle the words easy in B and also unoccupied. Okay, unoccupied is there again in B and easy is there. Okay, and after easy, just go ahead and underline for them to have a change in mind. Okay, so there's these three things. If we as the church, the body of Christ, are endeavoring to increase and to grow and to change the age, we're going to invest, okay? We're going to invest. And when we decide where we're going to go to invest, we need to consider investing. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to contact people. We're going to baptize people and bring them in the church life. Where should we focus our energy? These three words, open, unoccupied, was four words, but these three points, open, unoccupied, gathered, and easy to repent, are really key words. So I'm going to draw a line here. Hopefully everyone can see it. If you can't, it's okay. It'll probably be clear as we're explaining it. But this line is a timeline. This timeline will represent the human life. Okay, so it starts at zero. Maybe that's a baby. Okay, and it goes till whenever it ends, right? The Lord decides whenever it ends and when we're going to see Him. Okay, and every one of us, as those who have been purchased by the Lord, bought, right? With what a price, right? We have been bought. We're now belonging to the Lord. We are indebted to Him. We owe our whole life to Him. And we also owe the gospel to every man we know, right? Every man. Paul said, I'm debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, right? So for my part in Romans 1, now I'm ready to preach the gospel. He wants to pay this debt, and we're the same, and the Lord has given us a whole lifetime to do that. So I want, first of all, one principle to be impressed is whole life. And during our whole life, this verse that will probably be touched in the second half, 1 Timothy 2:4, says that our Savior God desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So we're going to fellowship about saving people and things like this, but realize for our whole life, we need to be involved in the gospel, paying our debt, bringing Christ to man and bringing men to Christ. And in addition to that, every single man out there is attractive to God, right? He wants every one of them to be saved every age, all the time, everywhere. So another word I'm going to write is all men. That's just principles to keep in the background. Okay, now I'd like to consider the human life, okay? And I was thinking about this and I was considering, I've seen some sharing on this before, so I'm going to try to reproduce it. But I want to suggest to you that let's say maybe the first 17 years of your life. How would you characterize those 17 years? If you're in America, at least. High school? That's some of them, right? Overarching word. I will say this. At home with parents. What do you think? At home with parents, okay? You can say school, education, all of that is absolutely right. It fits, right? But for the first 17 years of your life, by and large, you're not yet even considered an adult. You can't vote. You can't sign a contract. Probably you can't even drive, okay? So here you are in these years. In these years, are you open and unoccupied? What would you say? Young people, how much time do they have? Are they have a shortage of free time? Most time you're ever going to have in your life to do what you want to do is right here. How about, are they open? Are they filled with all kind of worldly concepts and just no room for the Lord's Word? No, they're pretty open, right? What about gathered? March, 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. In this country, where do you find these people? You can be like almost absolutely certain where you can find our population. If you're this age, March, Tuesday morning, right? You're in school. So that key word is gathered. They are gathered together. Now let me ask you this, young people, is it hard for them to be touched in their conscience, right, concerning sin, and to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus? What would you say? Very easy, right? The Lord said you need to be like little children, right? These are the best ones for receiving the kingdom, okay? So this is a very crucial time, maybe a really good time to gain people. But I would just say on the flip side, I'd like to add a few things. These ones are still quite affected by their parents. They're under their parents' rules. They go where their parents tell them to go, right? They are influenced by their thinking. They probably can't drive a car. They're not that flexible, maybe. And even they're minors. And so, you know, it's a little different how you handle minors. So this is, we should find a way, right? Like Brother Minoru said, during the later years of high school, something is happening. We should find a way to gain these people. Okay, I just wanted to lay that in front of you. So most of you have passed through that, right? All of you have passed through that. You're going into college now. And I considered this as I was studying it. Most of you, by the age of 25, will probably be done with college. Or at least you're undergraduate. You may be going on. But to go into graduate school is kind of like a job. Okay? So I just want to lay 17 to 25 before you and call that your college years. Would you give me the freedom to do that? Okay, so these are the college years. Okay, and then I think I've heard in Brother Lee's fellowship, these years are kind of referred to as education. You're becoming useful as a human being. You're learning how to do things, become a member of society. But by and large, by 25, most humans are moving on into the next phase, which I don't know what would you call the next phase? Work? It's a good one. Experience? Okay, I like that. So how long do you work? Well, it varies, right? But maybe you could retire at 65. Maybe they'll change that. I don't know. Okay. Maybe at 65. So these years, those years can be referred to as your, you could say working. You could say family. And I'm pretty sure at least up until maybe the age of 50, sorry, my drawing is bad. Fellowship from Brother Lee is that these are key years of human experience. You young people will have received so much of the truth, and now the Lord as the Spirit of reality is going to guide you into so many experiences. And I'm just at the beginning of it myself. So, but anyway, I believe that what the Lord will do is He will constitute us with Himself during these years. So these years are crucial. But if you're not already in the church and pursuing Christ, are you, where do you find these people March Tuesday morning, 10 a.m.? Work? Where? You know, mom might be at the park. Dad might be in the Marine Corps. He might be working at night. He's in his office. Maybe he's doing 60 hours a day. Or not a day. 60 hours a week, right? There's this whole climbing the corporate ladder, making a name for yourself. This is what the Gentiles are doing, right? And so, let me ask you, are these people unoccupied? They've got three kids, right? I think you're convinced. I don't have to elaborate too much. Maybe they're not that occupied, and to be honest, maybe they're not that open, right? I believe many people are still being saved and being brought into the church in this area, but you'd have to say, not the same. Not the same, if you're going to invest, right? Okay, what about gathered? I would suggest to you scattered, right? Mom's at the park. Dad's at work. I mean, it could be anywhere. It's hard to know. So if you're trying to go fishing, you want to go fishing where fish are in the barrel. Have you heard the expression, shooting fish in the barrel? Not as much with this group. Okay, what about repentance? Well, I haven't done an extensive study, but I am in this area somewhere, and I do have friends, and I realize there was a time when they were asking about the meaning of their life, but now they don't have the time of day for that. At least some of my friends. And so I'm wondering, maybe it's not as easy for these to repent. Maybe it is. You know, people go through things. The Lord may save someone, you know. I mean, I've seen it. People have had definite experiences. Things happen, and that opened them wide, and they could receive the Lord. But I would suggest to you, it's not quite as easy. Okay, and then from here on, what do you call these years? I don't know what you call them, but maybe retired. Maybe that's what the world calls them, right? But you know what? You know what Brother Lee suggested that those years really are for? Full-time? Okay, you could definitely be full-time. That's very good. What else? Useful. Who said that? Well, it's okay. Very good. Useful. So, if you got in the boat during these years, and you've been in the church life enjoying Christ as your everything, right? Loving Him, pouring out on Him. These years, He's been constituting you, right? And then in these years, guess what? You have so much experience, right? The Lord has filled you with the riches of Christ, and you are useful to the Lord. This is the pattern that we should be on. But I'm sad to see that there's many who didn't get in the boat here, and they didn't make these years. These years were not redeemed, and these years not so useful. The Lord still needs to save them, right? He still needs to save them. But maybe not so open. Maybe wounded by life. Maybe full of opinions. I don't know. Maybe not gathered. You know, maybe you'll find them in a retirement home or something. And maybe not so easy to repent. Anyway, all of that is, I want to draw your attention to these years. I want to put a bullseye right here. That's where you are. And that I would like to impress you. Never in your life will you have another opportunity, right, where the fish are so easy to be gained as they are right now in your college years. You have your whole life to pay back, right, to pay the debt of the gospel to all men. But I would suggest to you, in basketball they have this term layup, right? It's when you're right next to the goal, the easiest time in your life to make that shot, right, to get somebody saved and brought into the church life, to pass through all of this with you. When is it? It's the college years, right? I would like to impress you. That was my first goal, is to impress you. Never again will you have this opportunity, right? Will you agree with me?
Amen.
Don't let these years pass by. I hope that this would burden you. Lord, you have to train me. This week I need to get something, and you know what? I need to practice. I need to be trained. I need on-the-job training on my campus. I need my full-timers to help me, right? And then when I'm done, I need to go to the full-time training, right? I need training. I hope this would burden you and open you to receive the help this week. Okay, point number two that I would like to impress you with is, so we know that this bullseye is college, okay? Those years, best time, right? All the way up to 25. Okay. Are all college students, in terms of these things, equal? What would you say? No. Okay, if we could shoot at a bullseye, and we at least know the target is college, where's the bullseye? Freshmen. So glad to hear you say that. We want all of them to get saved. If we miss the target and save a senior, well, let's praise the Lord for that, right? Okay, let's baptize them. Bring them in the church life. Okay, but if we're going to spend all of our energy and money and time, where are we going to aim? We should aim for freshmen. That's why I'm so glad to see freshmen here, because your friends are going to start school with you. And they're ready to hear from somebody about what to do with their life. And I would submit to you, they're ready to hear you. They want to hear you. Okay, so the next thing we know is that inside this bullseye are freshmen. Okay? Right now in our dorm that we're in, full of freshmen, trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to give myself to? What's the meaning of life anyway? Now I have to make my own decisions. Okay? Freshmen. Okay? Now, are you impressed that in a month or two, on your campuses, the Lord is going to send a school of fish your way that are just like so open you couldn't believe it. Most open you'll ever see in your life. Okay, that's my second point. Would you agree with me? On the college campus, we need to be interested in freshmen. Okay, so I made the second point. And the final point is this. In all of our time contacting freshmen, is every day the same? Is every week the same? Okay, well, again, we're investing God's time, right? All of our time, all of our money, it's His. We're going to invest it. Where do we get the most bang for the buck? Louder. What'd you say? First week? First week is far, definitely. I don't know what I would say, but I would say definitely those first 2 weeks, right? They're moving in their dorms, and they're looking for, who are my people? Who are the ones I'm going to run with? Who's like me? Where do I fit in? What am I, In those first 2 weeks, I can tell you, this happened with me when I was there. By the end of 2 weeks, we already found what I'm doing on Friday night and what I'm going to do on Saturday. And people are already joining their fraternities, and they're already going downhill into all manner of things, right? It only takes maybe not even 2 weeks, maybe the first week. But in that first week, they're just open to you, right? And even in those first weeks, well, you don't have any tests. So you have some time, right, to spend. But in those first 2 weeks, it is just a critical time. And I wish I had the quote, I do somewhere, from Brother Lee, and I would read it to you if I was more prepared. But basically, he said, pour everything out on these weeks. If you're sick, forget about being sick. Doesn't matter. Give all that you have in those 2 weeks. Befriend these people. Visit them in their dorm room. Spend time with them. Pray with them. Fellowship with your home meeting. I know a freshman. Can we pray for him? I don't know what's going to happen. Let's pray. Fellowship with your small group. Fellowship with your companions. Visit them. Bring them into a home meeting. I believe every one of you could bring one freshman into the church life this year. And you could bring them with you next year. They could be in this seat with you next year. Freshmen, how about that? How about next year, bring somebody with you to the college training? Bring them into all of this with you. So, first point I wanted to impress you, opportunity. Where is it? College years. Among college students, where should we aim? Freshmen. And even still, of the whole freshman year, what time is the most important? Those first 2 weeks, which isn't that many weeks from now. Actually, where I'm at, some students have already started visiting freshmen who are taking summer classes, right? And they're there in those summer classes, and guess what? None of the other Christian clubs are doing anything. There's no fraternities. They all went home for the summer. They're just waiting to be contacted. Okay. I just want to make you so burdened to get perfected in the gospel and to go back to your campus and to shoot these fish and bring them into the church life. Okay. I feel released. I feel like I shared what I needed to share. Maybe as Bruce, as he's going to share the rest of this, how about let's all read together Roman numeral 2. Okay, so here it begins, right? The training on the gospel coming your way. It starts with God, man, the tree of life. Okay? How about brothers read A? Underline all men. We need to be impressed with the Lord's heart for all men. No matter how many earrings they have, no matter any of that, the Lord loves that man. He died for that man. Okay? All men. Precious and worthy of love and service. Right? Including the unsaved ones. Okay? B, we as God's children should be one with our Father in His love for sinners. We need to have a loving concern for the salvation of sinners. I believe as we open to the Lord and we're drawn to Him, touched by Him, and love Him, we just won't be able to help but have a feeling for people. He'll infuse us with His heart of love. Okay, all together on C, and I'll sit down.
Okay, praise the Lord. You know, 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, who desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So what is God's desire? Is that all men be saved. Of course, also that they would come to the full knowledge of the truth. But the first thing is they need to be saved. So that is God's heart's desire. What about our desire? What is your desire? Is your desire God's heart's desire? That all men be saved. Oh, Lord Jesus. So we want to see, hopefully we'll be impressed to see what the Lord's heart is. And that we would desire to match the Lord's heart. We would desire to have a heart the same way the Lord does. So we just read these points in Roman numeral 2. And I just want to emphasize a few of the items within some of these points. Of course, Robert pointed out in point A, all men. God's desire is that all men. Right? And then also, he considers every man to be precious and worthy of love and service. Okay? And then in B, the last part of that point says, we need to have a loving concern for the salvation of sinners. What about a loving concern for the salvation of sinners? And then, of course, the last point, our heart must be broadened to the extent that what? We love everyone and are interested in every man. Is this your heart? Loving everyone and having an interest in every man? You probably can consider some that you would never want to see again. What about our heart for every man? And I was appreciating this verse also in Mark 10:45. It says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So this was his service. His service was the pouring out of his life. So what about our service to the Lord? And what does it mean to serve the Lord? Right? What did the Lord do? He gave himself for man. So what does it mean to serve the Lord? It actually means to serve people. This is our service to the Lord. In all of our service, right? Even guitar playing, ushering, all of this is for man. It's for people. So God's heart's desire is for people. Our service to the Lord is to serve people, to serve man. So hopefully we would have this same desire, right? To serve man. And I also appreciate another verse in 2 Corinthians 12:15, where the Apostle Paul, we see him, of course, as really as a pattern, right? That he says, I will most gladly spend and be utterly spent on behalf of your souls. So that first part, I will most gladly spend, that refers to his possessions. Everything that he owns, all his possessions, he would most gladly spend. And then, and be utterly spent, this refers to his being. So all his possessions, all his being, he would gladly just pour out on behalf of your souls, on behalf of people. So hopefully we would have this same desire that we would be spent and be utterly spent on behalf of people, with a love for people. So you want to go to the campus where there are all these people gathered, and you can preach the gospel, but you have to have a love for these people. Otherwise, your gospel is not going to have that much impact. So it's not a matter of just speaking the gospel, but you have to have a love for these people, right? We have to have a desire that they would get saved. Not just to go back and say, oh yeah, I went out for an hour today to preach the gospel. You know, I did my duty. No. But we have to have a love for these people. And we have to see them the way God sees them. And have a desire that matches God's heart's desire for these people, right? And I had a little experience just about a week and a half ago. I was in the public library in my hometown, and I was in this quiet area reading, and then I got a phone call. So I moved from the quiet area, because you're not supposed to take phone calls in there. I go to this other area of the library, and I'm talking on the phone. It's my nephew. I haven't talked to him in a while, so we're talking. And as I was talking, this older man came over, and he walked by and looked at me, and he started shaking his head at me, you know, because I guess I was being a little too loud. as I was talking. So, I realized what, you know, how he was feeling. And so, I finished up the conversation, and then I was heading back toward the quiet area of the library where I was, and I was walking by some computer desks, some desks with some computers, and there was another brother there. So I stopped and said hello to the brother, and I was talking to him a little bit. And then that same guy that was shaking his head at me was like three desks down on the computer, and he looked up at me again, and he's shaking his head with a dirty look, and he said, actually, he didn't say it real loud, he said, "You're a piece of work." He called me a piece of work. So I told the brother, I said, "I think this guy over there is upset. I'll talk to you a little later." So I went back to where I was sitting, and then I was thinking about this guy, and I'm saying, "I know that guy. He looks familiar." And you know, of course, at the public library, you get all kinds of people there. So anyway, I kind of recognize this guy, and I recognize him from the car that he drives, because this car is an old, beat-up vehicle, no hubcaps, faded paint, you know, trash all on the dashboard. You can tell the guy is living out of his vehicle. So and I'm thinking, this guy's calling me a piece of work. And then my first thought was, you know, like, "Lord, send fire down from heaven, consume this guy." You know, you ever have that kind of reaction, right? And so then, you know, and in fact, I was getting into some of this at the time, and I was like, "Lord Jesus," I was just so exposed. "Where is my heart for man? Every man. God loves every man." Right? And so I was really touched by the Lord, and I was even considering, I probably need to go apologize to this guy. You know, but anyway, I went back and forth with the Lord a little bit. I didn't end up apologizing to him, but anyway, this is our reaction, right? I mean, you know, somebody crosses you. It's like the first thing is, you know, of course, especially on the highway or when you're driving, somebody cuts you off. What's your first thought? "I wish that person would get in an accident." Right? "Oh, Lord Jesus." "Oh, Lord, where's our heart for man? We need to love every man. We should be praying for that person," right? So anyway, this was, it was really the Lord's exposure. But anyway, let's read Roman numeral 3 together. Love is not merely an outward, but is the expression of the inward life. In order to love people, we need God's life and God's nature of love to transform and supply us so that we may live out this God who is love and express His love. So just this first part of this point is, love is not merely an outward behavior. Right? It's not to love people like this, the way the Lord loves people. It's not a matter of behavior change. But it's actually a matter of a life change. So we need a life change in order to be these kind of people that love everyone, that has a heart for man. We need a life change. We need another life because we cannot do it in ourselves, right? So it's not a matter of a behavior change, but it's a matter of a life change. Praise the Lord. So point A says, the love of God, which is God Himself, has already been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So how can we be this kind of people? You know, how can we love people? And, you know, how can this love grow in us? How can it be developed in us? How can it be maintained in us? And really, we have... And this point 3 really helps us to see this. How we can have this love? Well, first of all, this love has been poured out. It's been poured out into our hearts. Praise the Lord. We have it. Amen. We have the capacity. Amen. It's been poured out into our hearts. Amen. And then also the verse mentioned here, 2 Timothy 1:7, is that says that God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love. Amen. So we have a spirit of love. It's been given to us. Praise the Lord. Okay, B says, our love for our fellow man should be a because of love. And it is higher and nobler than human affection because it has its source from God. Praise the Lord, it has its source from God. We love, 1 John 4:19 says, we love, why? Because He first loved us. He's the source of that love. Praise the Lord. And John 6:57 says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, right? So he who eats me, even he shall live because of me. God is the source of this love. Praise the Lord. So we have it. We have that source. He's within us. Praise the Lord. We love because He first loved us. Amen. Okay, and C says, the practice of the divine love. Well, don't you want to practice this divine love? The practice of the divine love is the outcome of our enjoyment of the triune God as the all-inclusive Spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh, the practice of the divine love comes out from our enjoyment of the triune God. Amen. We need to be in the enjoyment of the triune God. Amen. So how can we stay in the enjoyment of the triune God? And actually, these verses referenced there talks about our abiding and our fellowship. We need to be in the fellowship, and we need to be in the abiding. And then as we're in the fellowship, as we're in the abiding, then we can enjoy the Lord, right? We can enjoy this fellowship with God. And then out of that will come the practice of the divine love. So it's a matter of our walk. It's a matter of our fellowship and abiding with the Lord. And really, I appreciated this morning's message from Ricky because in order for us to stay in this abiding, to stay in this fellowship, we need to take care of dealing with our sins, taking care of our conscience. This is what will keep us in the fellowship. This is what will cause us to remain in the abiding. Right? So as we take care of our confessing, taking care of our conscience, then what? And we're maintaining this fellowship. That keeps the door open and the way clear so that what? So that the Word can come in and supply us. So that leads us to... as we spend time enjoying the Lord, then the Lord's Word. Let's read one first here. As we spend time to experience, enjoy, and abide in God's love, He fills us, saturates us, and becomes our very essence, causing us to be permeated with the love of God. Amen. So as we're in this fellowship and abiding, there's a saturation going on. There's a permeation going on, right? We're getting soaked with God. Hallelujah. And even the love, actually that love is being perfected in us. It's being perfected in us. Praise the Lord. So we have the capacity to love in this way. And then, again, as this is going on, then we're led to the Word of God. And as we get into the Word of God, then we're supplied. Right? Let's read 2. The Lord's Word supplies us with His inward essence of love with which we live Christ and love God, the brothers and all men. So, the Word will supply us. If we don't take care of our conscience, if we're not taking care of this fellowship and abiding with the Lord, then it's very difficult, even though you may get into the Word, it's very difficult for the Word to come in and be a supply. So we have to open the way by dealing with sins and confessing and taking care of our conscience. That opens the way. Then the Word can come in and be a supply to us as we get into the Word, right? And then, of course, we can live Christ. And as we're living Christ, there's this universal love. There's a love for God. There's a love for the brothers. And then there's a love for man. Praise the Lord for the universal love. Okay, 3, we need to pray in a specific way for people so that the love of God for these ones can grow and develop in us. So we need to pray, right? We need to pray for the ones we're contacting, the ones we're considering contacting. We need to pray, and even we need to pray in a specific way, not in the general way. Lord, send me somebody. No. Lord, what about Joey sitting next to me? You know, what about Vanessa? Lord Jesus. You know, this one who's your lab mate. Specifically, and the brothers will touch on this. We have a message on this matter of companions and prayer. So they'll get into this in more detail. Praise the Lord. And then let's read four together. Just as the Lord Jesus laid down his life so that we might have the divine life, we need to lose our soul life and deny the self to love our fellow man. Through our speaking and our living. Amen. So, of course, this also requires a denying of our soul life, just setting aside our own interest, our own feelings, and denying the self. And actually, practically speaking, and Brother Lee gets into this a lot, is practically speaking, to deny the soul life is to deny your disposition. And of course, you know what our disposition is. It's just our makeup, the way we are, the way we think, the way we do things. You know? So the Lord needs to deal and to break through our disposition. And if you want to get into that, get into this book, The Normal Way of Fruit Bearing and Shepherding for the Building Up of the Church. And chapter, I believe it's chapter 3, he gets into a lot of this matter of our disposition. Very, very crucial for our fruit bearing. So, anyway, what I really appreciate about this, you know, of course we need to see, we need to have this kind of heart for man. And as, you know, as we're going through these steps, this is really a life. This is the Christian life. This is our living. It's not just some things we do in the morning, or do in the evening, or, you know, certain periods of time. No, this is our life. This is our daily life, our living. Our gospel is not just an activity. Our gospel is a living. The gospel is a living. This is what will touch people, right? This is what will cause people to open, because they see you're a man of God. And no one can deny that if it's really true. So the gospel is really a living, right? So we need to have such a life of the gospel. And I just want to end with a little, some of the ministry Brother Lee talks about here, about, you might have heard before of the Boxer Rebellion. And this was in about 1900 in China. You know, there was a lot of missionaries going over there during that time. And so a lot of Christian influence was being developed there, and a lot of the Western culture was coming in. So anyway, there was this movement that rose up of some rebellious ones that wanted to snuff out, to get rid of all of these Christian missionaries and all of the Chinese Christians that followed them, and even other Westerners that were there. So this movement rose. They call them the Boxers because of the way they used to fight. And so the Westerners actually called them the Boxers. The Boxer Rebellion. So anyway, this was actually was a very serious time. There were many missionaries that got killed during that time. So this group rose up, but there was this one person in particular, and I'll read it for a minute. There was such an impact from his life and his living and his love for man that it really influenced even these Boxers, even these rebellious ones. And I'll read this to you. It's very impressive. You can tell this is why the gospel is our living. It says, when I was a small boy, I observed the situation of the missionaries. Those dear saints who went on the mission were very much disciplined by the Lord to have a heart for the heathen peoples. And it was through them, not through their preaching or teaching, but through what they were, that many were saved. It is difficult to imagine what manner of patience, endurance, and attitude they expressed to those unbelieving heathen. This touched the conscience of the people, and it opened the door of the gospel. The ancient and great country of China was extremely conservative at that time. The Boxer movement of 1900 intended to kill the Westerners in China and all the Chinese Christians who followed the Western religion. However, the people respected a certain older Presbyterian missionary named Mr. Corbett. Now, Mr. Corbett is a very special person. Mr. Corbett could not speak eloquently, but he had a heart to love the people. He loved everyone, and he gave whatever he had to them. Eventually, now listen to this. Eventually, everyone came to know that this was an American who was for everyone but himself. Wow. Everybody knew this guy loves man. He doesn't care for himself. Therefore, now this is really amazing. Therefore, even the boxers proclaimed a slogan. Now listen to this. Kill all the Westerners and their followers except Mr. Corbett. Can you imagine that? Kill all the Westerners and their followers except Mr. Corbett. So what a testimony this Mr. Corbett was. He was one who spent and was utterly spent, right? He was a person that loved people. Don't you want to be a Mr. Corbett? Oh, Lord, make us all a Mr. Corbett. Praise the Lord. So I hope that we can have a little picture of what it is to serve the Lord and to have this kind of heart that God has for man, that we would love every man and we would have an interest in every man. And our gospel would really be a living of all of these items, right? That this would really be the gospel, is a living in our contact with the Lord, right? Praise the Lord.